Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
6:10 in the morning, 720 WGN, Steve Cochran Show. All right, magic number's one, obviously. So we could clinch today or tonight.
Well, the Cubs could clinch tonight with a victory over the Brewers, or very, very late tonight with a Giants victory over the Cardinals.
You got to think positive like me. You got to believe in the Cubs, Dave. Your doubt about the Cubs, I think, is legendary, and you got to believe that the Cubs are going to get it done this afternoon.
Let me see. Who picked them to win 72 games?
Last year? Well, that would have been me.
I know. It's ancient history, right?
Totally ancient history.
I bet my godmother that she's a White Sox fan. That the Cubs would win 100 games. Because I sort of felt bad. I thought, you know what, I'll take her to dinner. It'll be a nice thing. I did not
think. Wait, you said that they would or would not?
I said they would win 100 games.
Oh, you're fine.
I know, but yeah. I sort of feel bad because I have to take her to or she has to take me to a fancy dinner now.
Well, pay anyway.
I will.
Yeah.
I will. Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, pay anyway. Dave, you know, I've never lost sight of this. The bandwagon was named after me, as you know.
the Steve Cochran bandwagon, yeah. Cubs bandwagon.
Yeah, Cubs bandwagon. Congratulations to the Cubs in advance. Do they have the champagne at Wrigley?
I'm sure they do.
They've chosen a nice cold duck. What are they serving?
A Dom Perignon.
Don Perignon?
Dom Perignon.
No, Don's cheaper.
I believe it's Corbel.
Oh, it's Corbel.
That's not champagne.
Oh, tasty.
Moet. Isn't Moet?
Moet and Chandon. Moet. Yeah, and Chandon.
But to be champagne, it has to be French champagne, technically.
Yes, it has to be champagne region
That's
of France.
Really nice.
How do you know that? How do you know that, Dave?
Champagne Urbana.
Yes, it has to be from Champagne Urbana.
Yeah, it's spelled differently.
Mike had a question for you, Dave.
Yes, Mike.
How do you know so much about that, Dave?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much common knowledge.
Yeah.
Did you know that Dave taught me that sparkling wine is the American version of champagne?
There you go.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Tickles my nose.
Did you know that Dave's real name is not Ennett? Dave's real last name is Hooch.
That's not true.
What's your middle name?
Hoochie.
William.
David William Hooch.
Billy Hooch.
What would DWH do?
Yeah. Why would we make that up? You're leaving for Greece today?
I am, yes.
Where do you go first?
Jersey.
Jersey is not part of Greece.
No, we have a layover in Jersey, and then we'll be
Newark?
In Athens. In Newark, can you believe that?
Really?
Yeah. Thanks, Bertrand. No, but then we have direct from Newark to Athens.
Steve Bertrand runs a travel company as well. You can see him on the phone going, if we take him through
Andre.
Newark, are we saving some money?
Right,
and whatever you do, don't trip over that cord that knocked out the power last week there.
Thank you.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, the United.
Yeah, there was somebody tripped over a cord, knocked out power to the entire airport.
It happens.
Well, it can't be one cord that has power to the entire airport.
I might
be
exaggerating just a little.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, just a little bit, yeah. First thing we do, we have free time when we get there, and then we'll have a nice dinner. And tomorrow.
Are you flying to Athens?
Which will actually be 8 hours ahead. Yeah.
Where else would you
fly? As opposed to what, driving?
Well, you could have taken one of those hand-gin carriers.
What?
She could have taken one of those hand-gin shipping carriers.
Bertrand's not that cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. To crank.
But this is with listeners, right?
This is with listeners, yeah. There's 30 WGN listeners going.
That's great.
And we'll have I think we're going to have a very, very nice time.
How many of the listeners going on the trip are you related to?
I know 6 people going of the 30.
I'm not
Not related, I don't think, to any. But by the end of the trip, because there are a few of the Greeks going, so I'm sure at some point we're going to figure out we're fifth cousins.
If your last name ends in Opolis, do you get a bigger discount?
Usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thought that might be the case.
Opolis, Pappas.
Pappasopolis.
Are you going to be back for the World Series?
Oh, yeah. I'll be back before the playoffs start.
How are you going to watch the Cubs?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to watch on my phone. You guys, I'll be looking at history.
Nothing's going to happen in the next 10 days.
I know, but they're still playing and stuff.
That's why I said it this way. I knew that, you know, they'd clinch. Then
here's what I want you to do. Just talk to people in Greece, tourists and locals, about what they think of our presidential race.
I'm going to.
And then come back and we'll set it to music from Benny Hill.
I am curious, though, to see, because obviously Greece just went through their own economic issues.
Well,
I am curious
going on,
to see what they think of our presidential race.
You can buy the, is it the Acropolis?
Yes. Well, the Parthenon sits on the Acropolis. The Acropolis is the area surrounding.
So you could buy the Parthenon there for like $8 now.
Probably.
So you should probably pick it up.
If you guys all chip in, I'll get us some real estate.
Rick Pearson, Pat Brady, Eric Edelstein all join us in the 7 o'clock hour today. David Yepsen as well, one of the great political minds anywhere. Chuck Todd this morning at 6:40. And later on, Ryan Dempster live in studio. All coming up. Plus, in the 9 o'clock hour today, one of the great character actors, one of that guy faces, a guy named Richard Jenkins. You have seen Richard Jenkins in about 900 movies. And yet, if I just gave you the name and you didn't go and Google the face, as many of you are doing now, you wouldn't know who he is.
Okay, say a movie.
He's the ultimate that guy. Oh, he's that guy! Yeah. Richard Jenkins, that guy.
Oh, he's that guy!
He plays dad.
Oh, him.
He plays the neighbor. They're always good parts.
He's been in a couple westerns.
He's a boss.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. He's that guy.
He was very funny in Step Brothers.
He was
very
great in Step Brothers. Step Brothers, he was the dad. He was married to, what's her name?
I don't know, but he was in 6 Feet Under.
Ted Danson's Sharon wife.
Ted Danson's wife.
Oh, Mary Steenburgen.
What? Yeah, Mary Steenburgen was married to Richard Jenkins in Stepdad.
Okay. He was born in DeKalb. Did you know that?
No, let's bring him out right now.
I know, right? Woo, Richard Jenkins. No, I just Googled that.
All right, Mary's here, and then Nick will talk about some movies coming up for the weekend.
What to see, what's out at the show, I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on GM's Cochrane Show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
6:22 now. Here's Nick. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Nick.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Did you see any of the Channel 9 primetime special?
No, it's on my DVR.
Mm. You know, I salute the effort. It's not easy being funny anytime. It's certainly not easy being funny for 2 hours in primetime. I think they put a little too much in the show. It was kind of packed wall to wall, you know?
Yeah. Did Robin sing?
I must have missed that.
I didn't see her sing. Okay. Did you see her sing, Dave?
They were on the tape. They had her singing.
Oh, okay.
It's not a
complete show for me unless Robin sings.
They had Dean, and we'll talk to Dean about this later, but they had Dean hosting the Bozo Buckets game with Brent Seabrook and Scottie Pippen because of Dean's longstanding career in Chicago sports. So, was Dean about hanging out with Seabrook? And by the way, Seabrook, I love Brent Seabrook on skates, and he's a good guy.
Yeah,
but Brent Seabrook in an interview, you're not getting a lot there.
He's quiet, more quiet.
How's
your summer? Good.
I had him on my show. Yeah. That's pretty much what you get.
Been doing much? No.
Hey, you know, the first 10,000 people that show up at the training camp get a Seabrook bobblehead.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Is this some marketing thing you're doing or are the Hawks involved?
No, I mean, on my show, I got tickets to give away for the sold-out training camp, and one of the details is the first 10,000 people that get into the UC get a Seabrook bobblehead.
Well, that's good. Did not know that.
Yeah.
We need to do staff bobbleheads.
That'd be cool.
Can you imagine the size of the bobblehead spring that would have to hold my giant melon up? It's not easy. All right, movies for the weekend. Snowden, what are you hearing?
I have not seen it. Oliver Stone's film about, obviously, Edward Snowden, played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Don't know what it's going to be like, but knowing Oliver Stone, I'm guessing it might be a little bit of leftist propaganda.
No, you think? You think he might be advocating for Snowden's release? You think Snowden might be a hero in this?
I got a feeling, yes. Yeah. Yes, I do. It's got an interesting supporting cast. Shailene Woodley is in it. Zachary Quinto. Nicolas Cage has a supporting role in this. I don't know what to make of it. I will say this. I mean, you kind of know what you're getting, you know, when you see Oliver Stone. And either you love him or you hate him. I'm not a huge fan. And also, to be blunt, this movie's been sitting around for a couple of years. It was supposed to come out last year, and it didn't.
I didn't know that. They kept delaying it.
So, yeah, it's a year and a half behind its original release date. So, yeah.
Did not know that. Bridget Jones' Baby.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on. I want it to be good.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
please.
Come on.
No, I can't even think. And by the way,
didn't Bridget Jones get her dialect coaching from Dick Van Dyke?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. First of all, I want to say that the running time of this movie is 128 minutes. So that's it right there.
It's a crazy premise done by Three's Company in 1977.
Who's the dad? I don't know. Wackiness ensues for 2 hours and 8 minutes.
Now, please tell me Maury Povich makes a cameo in this movie.
Yeah. And then Colin Firth does a big dance when he finds out he's not the father.
Right. So there's a new Blair Witch.
Yeah, baby. That's the one I'm looking forward to mostly this weekend. It is a...
Why don't you just vomit? I mean, wouldn't it be quicker than actually going to the movie?
I happen to adore the first Blair Witch Project. I think it's great. Didn't make me sick with the camera work or anything. And indeed, it actually, that movie scared the hell out of me. It really did. One of the few movies of the past, like, 20 years that really did a number on me. And this is supposed to be, it's a sequel that takes place 15 years after the first one with the brother of Heather Donahue, who was one of the three people that disappeared, three students that disappeared, looking for her and the house that was in the original Blair Witch. The amazing thing about this movie is that they kept this under wraps until July. Its working title was called The Woods. It's directed by Alan Gerdwan, who did a great horror film called You're Next a few years ago. And they did an incredible job keeping this thing under wraps. Nobody knew it was a Blair Witch, an official Blair Witch sequel, until the end of July. Not even horror dorks like me knew. So I'm looking forward to it. I happen to love the Blair Witch Project. And I'm going with my folks to see this one. They're going to be thrilled.
Are you kidding? With all the F-bombs that are going to be in it, just like the original?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean,
how Nick talks in front of his parents anyway.
Wow. The first one was like, come on. How many times did it
happen? Ma, where's the effing meatloaf? That's Nick.
No, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, dinner time at my family's house. Yeah.
What's Max Rose?
Max Rose, I'm very excited about this. It's playing in Highland Park at the Renaissance Theaters. Jerry Lewis's first lead role in many, many years. He plays an elderly, he's 90. He plays an elderly jazz pianist whose wife passes away, and he finds out that he may or may not have been her true love. She may have had an affair. So he goes back to review everything that happened in his life leading up to that to see if that relationship really was solid. Kevin Pollak is in the film, plays his son. And it's got a pretty interesting cast. And I'm just, you know, I mean, I love Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis is one of my favorites.
He's a terrific actor. And I don't mean that in the hobbiting way. I mean, he really can act.
Yes, he can. I mean, if you just go, you know, all you got to do is watch King of Comedy to know this guy's capable of drama, serious stuff as well. But I'm looking forward to it. It's not getting the best reviews in the world. But, you know, anytime I get to see Jerry Lewis on screen, I'm happy. And it's got an interesting premise. I love Jerry Lewis. So, and it's only playing in Highland Park at the Renaissance Theater. But I'm really looking forward to seeing that one.
One plug, October 4th, Movie Co. in Rosemont, The Exorcist with Nick. This, of course, is a home game for Nick, The Exorcist. He was was based on Nick's life. Again, it's October 4th. How do you get tickets?
It's you can go to carmike.com, C-A-R-M-I-K-E, carmike.com. Only $10. Parking is free. Have dinner at 7, movie will be at 8, I'll introduce it, and then we're going to have a talk afterwards. I know a lot about this movie. I actually did a paper on it in college. I did a term paper in high school on The Exorcist, so I kind of know a lot about this movie. I'm really looking forward to it. People are already freaking out. Like, I'm getting posts from people and texts from people saying, I haven't seen this movie since it came out, I'm going to come, but can I vomit? Can I leave if I have to?
Yeah, the answer is no. The doors will be locked.
That's exactly right. You will be forced to watch the entire movie. Right. And by the way, it's the extended director's cut.
How long is it?
12 minutes longer.
What, I mean, total runtime?
About 2:12, yeah.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad.
No, it's not like it's 6 hours of vomiting, you know, and head spinning. No. I would love that.
And Satan would probably works quicker than that. Who knows? All right,
and,
thanks.
And you know what? It'll still seem shorter than Bridget Jones's Baby.
Well, now you're angering Mary. Oh, no, her head spun around completely. Unbelievable. It's outrageous. All right, thanks, buddy. And let's do this. Take a break. Come back. Get the big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Why not share your medical records? Why not?
Well, I have really no problem in doing it. I have it right here. I mean, should I do it? I don't care.
Should I do it? Yeah.
There are details from a colonoscopy that he had a few years back. He had a calcium scan of his heart that was done that looked good. He had results from chest x-rays and EKGs, plus the laboratory results from last week.
You didn't grill him. You said it wasn't your role to ask him tough questions. You're not a journalist. What will you say to critics?
I'm a doctor. I host a television show that talks about health. I did not run the test myself, but it is a comprehensive view of a person that would normally be revealed from one doctor to another.
Donald Trump's not a doctor either, Doc. Kate Snow, NBC News, talking to Dr. Oz yesterday. Oh, and America's long national nightmare will continue. It won't be over. It will continue when later today Donald Trump... Is it today that Trump's on, Dr. Oz?
Today.
Trying to figure
be,
out what I'm not doing today, and I won't be watching
the
that.
The taping was yesterday, and it'll be out today.
Chuck Todd standing by on hold. He can hear everything we say. All right, Pat Brady, what's your review of Chuck Todd's speech? Was it to the City Club this week?
Yeah, he was outstanding. Obviously, this guy knows a little bit about politics. And he started off a little rough, though. He made a comment about being a Washington Nationals fan and got a pretty big boo.
Oh, because
it went straight uphill from there.
Sure, yeah. Chuck, you need help writing the opener next time, or what happened there?
Okay, here's what I didn't bring up. I didn't bring up the Bears and Packers.
that's true.
But
that's true.
I'm not going to kick somebody while they're down. I mean, this Bears crisis. I actually was listening to Michael Wilbon, who, of course, is a Chicago native, Washington Post guy.
Yeah, of course.
And big Bears fan. And he unloaded on the point of, like, wondering what is this franchise that is now a generation, you know, that there's something rotten farther in that they've got to figure out, that this is just at some point, you know, maybe it needs to be an ownership. So it was stunning to hear this. I wonder, you know, if it wasn't for the Cubs, would Bears fans just be beyond apoplectic?
Well, you got the Cubs and you got the Hawks in about 3 weeks. So there's a couple of distractions, which is very well timed. But I got to tell you, Chuck, I don't know if you heard that list that Dave Ennett was talking about in sports. But if the Bears are worth $2.4 billion, I got them on Craigslist this morning. I don't want that going down.
No, I'm with you. I mean, you're right. You're like, yes, what are you buying? You're going to have to immediately pour a whole bunch of money into remodeling that house.
Let's start here. Pat, you brought a point up to me off the air, which I think was a really interesting point Chuck brought up in his speech the other day, which was?
He was making the point, and one of the last questions the moderator asked about was Illinois, the Speaker Madigan and Governor Rauner, and Chuck made a great point about Illinois is the last of the political dynasties, and he went through the list of previous ones. I thought it was just an interesting point that I think most people in the room weren't aware of.
I wouldn't have thought of it.
Well, it's just that, yeah, I mean, you know, what I was pointing out is that there's always been, you know, these powerful legislatures, these state legislatures, like, you know, and every state had their Madigan, and they're gone. Madigan's it. It's very interesting to watch here as an outsider who loves this stuff to see this Madigan-Rauner fight. I mean, whatever happens, Madigan may win, he may not, but when he goes, there'll never be another Madigan, and Springfield will never be the same.
And, you know, my very fair viewpoint on this, how fast can that happen? All right, let's back it up to Dr. Oz's house here. This notion, are we entitled to the political health or the health records of politicians? Of course we are. Mm-hmm. There's 70 and 68, almost 69 years old. Of course we are.
Right. No, absolutely, 100%. This is Donald Trump would be the oldest living president, and Hillary Clinton would be the second oldest first-term elected president. That's number one. And if you want just an example, let's go back to Paul Tsongas. You know, Paul Tsongas was, said that cancer was in remission. And, you know, the fact is he ended up dying before what would have been the end of his first term.
Right.
Okay? That this stuff matters. We know the stress of the job, the amount of travel that you do, the fact that, you know. So, yes. I think it is important for the country to know if their candidates for president are healthy enough for the job, because it's an all-consuming job. Look at the pictures. We joke about it, right? Oh, my God, look how much Obama's aged, how much Bush ages, how much Clinton ages. It ages you. It takes no president walks out of there feeling, you know, as good as they did walking in.
So we have not gotten tax information from Trump. Is this going to be it for Trump's health records, no matter how much everybody in the media and everybody on the radio and everybody everywhere else starts screaming about it?
I think the only, unless there's an incident. Look, I don't think we would have gotten more out of Hillary Clinton without an incident, to be honest. I mean, you know, there wasn't, I think we would have just only seen the letter that she put out a couple months ago. So, yeah, on the medical front, I think without something happening on the trail of him, you won't see any more information.
I talked to a couple of doctors who didn't want to go on the record about it, but they said they're not fully convinced, and they didn't even, you know, like most professional doctors, they were uncomfortable even talking about it on a golf course. But they said, you know, look, you got to examine the patient. But the fact that she did appear to faint is indicative of things that don't necessarily relate to dehydration and other things. And I don't think we've seen enough, at least in the reports they've seen, that is all encompassing of what kind of shape she's in. So are those questions have to continue, don't they?
They will. There's an easy way for her to answer those questions or to make them go away. Get on the trail every single day, 18 hours a day type of thing, right? Which is likely what she'll be doing between now and Election Day. And obviously she can't. I've noticed before she went off the trail here, she's been starting a lot of interviews or speeches with a cough drop in her mouth. And she's very cognizant that any appearance of coughing or of, you know, is going to, you know, people are going to jump to a conclusion or perhaps overreact. But I think that's the best way for her to make these questions go away is to go on the trail and be healthy and act and look healthy.
Hey, Chuck, the way that the campaigns handled this issue on both sides, and obviously the Clinton campaign initially didn't handle it very well. Who has handled this best, and is this any indicator of how we're going to see there in the next 8 weeks when it's hand-to-hand combat?
Yeah, neither one of them handled it very well. I mean, you know, Trump to do this on Dr. Oz, I mean, to me, it undermines the whole thing. How do you take any of it seriously at all? I found what's fascinating about his decision to unveil it on Oz is it's clear the campaign didn't want him to do that. Kellyanne Conway yesterday morning even said it wasn't going to happen, appeared to catch herself, but like, of course you wouldn't do it on a TV show. Like, it almost sounded like the phrase she was about to say, but it was essentially saying, no, we're not going to do that. And he did it anyway. And I think it does undermine it. So that silliness is there. But look, the way that the fact that we had to drag this out of the Clinton campaign, and again, we wouldn't have got any of this. We wouldn't have heard about the pneumonia had nothing happened.
Okay, but
you know, the irony to all this is, had they told us on Friday, they could have decided to actually rest her and she doesn't go out during the weekend.
But then wouldn't she come under fire for taking away from the spotlight for 9/11 and being disrespectful? I mean, it seems like she's...
One could argue that the incident itself took away from the ceremony, and her not being there would have put all the focus on the ceremony. There wouldn't have been that much.
I just don't understand.
Why isn't she here?
You know, and I, to some extent, it's what Colin Powell's email said, even though the hacking thing's a whole other discussion. I don't understand how she never is able to just go, yeah, I'm sick. I need a couple of days. She's a human being.
Then that's your
Everybody well, could identify no, with
they,
that.
Well, I think they overthought it. I think they're paranoid about the rumor mongering about her health. I think they thought, oh, if we give them any little, if we admit that we're sick, if, you know, I think there's a little bit of they were overthinking about the innuendo campaign that's going on in some of the dark corners of social media. And I think they so worried about that the instinct was, well, just don't say anything. And then, of course, David Axelrod, it hit this on the head. You know, he said, you know, she has a penchant for privacy that basically creates more problems for her than are necessary. It appears the only two people that knew about this pneumonia diagnosis in the campaign were Huma and Cheryl Mills, her two closest personal aides. It doesn't appear the actual campaign team knew.
How about that?
You know, never good when you're keeping your campaign team out because you're not going to make the best decisions for the campaign. Maybe you're doing it for your own personal self, but not for the campaign.
I believe that goes back to Travelgate. I mean, she's been doing this since 1992.
Yeah, so maybe I shouldn't expect now. Something new.
No,
but
this is who she is. You're not going to somebody that's acted this way for. Look, we could. She's got scar tissue, right? Pure and simple. She has got political scar tissue when it comes to dealing with the press, dealing with transparency, answering questions. She feels under siege. She always feels like she's and so the immediate instinct is put the wall up and say nothing.
Yeah, and it's funny because it never works out well, and there's no lessons learned. I've just received word that there will be a fourth debate hosted by Maury Povich. So congratulations to Maury. That's going to be exciting.
So you say that, you know, there are plenty of people right now on the Dan Ryan going, oh, that could happen.
2016.
So, you know what I mean? It wouldn't be like,
yeah, though, that's crazy. You'd be like, well, this year.
Yeah, this year makes sense. Chuck Todd, MTP Daily, and Meet the Press on Sunday. You want to plug a guest?
Yeah, I think, no, you know what? I'm not sure if I'm allowed to yet.
Okay, that's fine.
Unfortunately, we have our guests lined up, but I think I have to wait another day before.
It's even embargoed from Chuck. But trust me, Hillary's people don't know.
Well, there you go.
Chuck Todd, NBC News. Thank you, my friend.
You got it. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you. Hey, just a little correction. I think I was wrong, Steve. He was at the BGA event. But I've got my CSA cam.
Many people, speaking of politics, many people have asked about services for Paul Green. I don't think we have any update, do we?
We have no update as of now. They will do something, obviously.
God, what a loss that is. He was just tremendous.
He was remembered at the City Club, too, and it was perfect because the picture they flashed up on the screen was Paul and Lady Gaga.
Of course it was.
From the Polar Bear.
Of course it was.
It was so great.
Paul had a love of pop culture that was very funny. But he also, his wife has spoken about a public service of some sort,
yes,
at some point. So we give them their room and they'll let us know when they know, and then you'll know.
It's like she is a wonderful public servant who wants to save the world. She's always had that part of her and still does. Mm-hmm. But then there's a darker place that she makes decisions from a place of fear and insecurity. And that kind of trips up the public servant side.
Right.
So you always have the good side. And then she gets, you know, I was thinking it's like Donald Trump has his wall, mm-hmm. but she has her wall. And you saw it with the health thing, the defensiveness, the secretiveness that is so self-destructive to her.
This is going to make both sides nuts when I say this. These two psychologically are much more similar than you can possibly imagine. Oh, yeah. I'll give you a little chart or a graph coming up. I was thinking about this the other day, and I just wrote down about 6 or 7 points psychologically of how they handle things. And then symptomatically, it may not come out the same way, but they really are equally crazy in a lot of ways. And that's why they're both terrible candidates. Minute before 7 o'clock, David Yepsen, one of the finest political minds in America, coming up next hour. Pat's here, Pat Brady. Pat, where do you work, by the way? What's the name of that company?
Next Generation Strategies.
And you can see Pat all over television. Every time somebody wants a political quote on TV, they go, "Where's Brady?"
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
712. Hi, I'm Steve. How you doing? Rick Pearson standing by. Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com. And host of the Sunday Spin. Who are you having on the show Sunday?
I have Sam Toya, the head of the Illinois Restaurant Association. We've got the Chicago Gourmet Fest is coming up on the 24th and 25th. And we're going to talk about food and the intersection of food and politics.
Is that just to get a free breakfast? Because we could have set that up for you. Or is he a legitimate guest?
He's a very legitimate guest.
Okay.
And the Restaurant Association's involved in a lot of issues ranging from comprehensive immigration reform to concerns about some of these skyrocketing taxes in the city.
Yesterday, I don't know if you heard yesterday, but I was hyping Clout Street and the reporting you guys do, because in an era where we need more great reporting, there's just not a lot of it out there. And way too much emphasis on personal opinions and things of that nature, where there's still journalism going on. So the Chicago Tribune political coverage is great.
Well, appreciate that much. And Cloud Street is kind of our digital way to communicate those stories to everybody.
Yesterday, there was a story by your colleague Kim Jansen, which amused me because it doesn't get any play because it's not loud enough. But the Cook County Board has basically set up new rules of etiquette for public meetings. Can you explain this to me? Basically, if you live in Cook County, you're upset with the board. You have to be careful what you say at the meetings.
For some recent time, the Cook County board meetings have turned into very large protest forums, and so this is the board's attempt to try to rein things in. And there still is a First Amendment, and the problem is we're seeing this really throughout the country from school boards and everything else, where there's public commentary time devoted on the agenda, but things that, like, you have to sign in advance, and it's limited in scope and time. I mean, there is a fine line here between people should be able to exercise their First Amendment rights versus, especially in talking to the people that we elect to serve us.
Would the Cook County Board like a safe space or maybe safe words that they could shout out if they get uncomfortable?
I'm sure they would. But frankly, you know, the board meetings are that public forum to express public sentiment.
The mayor has been fairly quiet this week. There's an O'Hare bond thing that's a little deep in the weeds, but it's important still. But any news out of City Hall?
Well, I think the vote yesterday, getting the bare minimum 26 votes on a bond deal for O'Hare, I think it does kind of symbolize where the aldermen do see the mayor as extremely politically vulnerable at this point. And sure, the vaunted water tax passed, you know, 40-10, but at the same time, that vote on the bonds shows, frankly, concern among not only the African-American aldermen who are concerned that minority bond interests don't get a piece of those kinds of multi-billion dollar bond deals, but also concerns from the more progressive aldermen as well. So I think this is something to watch going forward.
I thought this was somewhat interesting, too, yesterday, Rick. Alderman Balser wants some sort of, would it be an amendment or, a law that regarding the national anthem because of the whole Kaepernick situation in San Francisco?
Yeah, and I mean, when you see controversial incidents and then you see these political responses and, you know, here again, sure, a great deal of controversy involving the 49ers quarterback. But at the same time, there is freedom of expression, and there's a way for a politician to try to leverage that into, you know, some kind of political gain. You can't go anywhere.
Yeah, I don't want to make it a sports discussion, but you know who did a nice job of handling this is Brandon Marshall from the Denver Broncos, who actually is contributing money to charities in Denver and actually went to meet with the police to try to get the police perspective on their job. And had a good meeting with, I guess, the police chief in Denver. And that's what I was talking about with Colin Kaepernick. You know, it's not enough just to kneel during the anthem. You got to do something with it. He wrote a big check, but you got to go the extra step. You know, what are you going to do with the attention is the point. All right, so the campaign 2016, and let me get Eric Adelson and Pat Brady in here with you as well. At this point, Rick, we're going to need all of your personal health records for the past 20 years to be on the show.
You know, certainly one thing that I've been saying about this whole incident with Hillary Clinton and the pneumonia, and maybe Eric might disagree, I'm not sure, but to me it was just a prime example that Hillary Clinton really didn't learn anything from the 2008 campaign against Barack Obama. As I've talked about in the past, the kind of issue of entitlement and some would even go so far as to say arrogance in the way she handled the campaign. The fact of how this, you know, public disclosure came about really shows how the Clinton camp works to just isolate her as much as possible from any kind of scrutiny. And sure, she is back on the campaign trail today. You know, her, people are spinning the message. She's had a chance to hone her closing statement now for the final weeks of the campaign. But at the same time, all it does is continue to expose that fundamental issue that people have against her, and that's the trust issue.
Well, let me get your mic on there and try again.
I agree with a lot of what Rick said. I mean, I think there's no question it reinforced all that in retrospect. I've tried to sort of step back from the frothing and the immediate analysis. I think she was in a bit of a no-win situation, given the sort of right-wing conspiracy theorists who've been trying to pound on her health. I mean, look, people get sick. We all know that happens. I don't think it was handled well. But I do think to suggest, and I'm not saying you are, Rick, but I know people have said, oh, the minute she was diagnosed with pneumonia, they should have come out and said something. Well, can you imagine the sort of hysteria that would have created as well?
It is a no-win.
It is
so I think in a little bit, we have to have a little bit of empathy that she was in a no-win situation. Now, she may have created that no-win situation for herself over time.
Well, Pat, you brought up the point earlier that if she hasn't got a 25-year trust issue, she just has pneumonia.
Remember what McCain did, because even Republicans in 8 years ago were questioning his sanity. Even like Trent Lott was making.
They put out like 1,000 pages of material.
Chuck Todd made some pretty funny comments about that when he was here, about some of the things they found in that report from his naval aviator days.
Yeah, I bet.
Here's the thing, that, and I'll leave you with this, Rick, but here's the thing, and I'd be curious to get a viewpoint from all three of you on this, and Andrea, jump in too if you care to, but here's the thing that should be talked about. You got a 70-year-old who eats fried chicken on an airplane, who could drop dead of a grabber tomorrow. You got a 68-year-old with documented health issues, which we've now seen a verifiable health incident. My greatest concern is the knuckleheads that they hired to be their running mates. Is Tim Kaine ready to take the job? And is Mike Pence ready to take
the
job?
That's a great
point. Well, that's the key.
I was going to say it a little differently. If everyone hates those two so much, maybe they should be happy they might have health issues. I mean, I don't mean to sound callous, and I in no way wish anything harmful. But
my point is, are we missing the larger story here?
Yeah, sure.
Should the VPs be vetted a little more closely because, you know, because these are the oldest people to run for the White House?
Well, they do say, you know, the most important decision presidential nominee makes is the vice president for this very reason. So I do think
they will be
closer
probably to their debate, which is what kind of sandwiched in between the three presidential. They do focus on them for about a week, and I imagine, I hope anyway, that comes up.
And Pence has to say something other than what Donald said. He's just going to have more content than that.
He's released his tax returns, at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's also said that he sees, with a Trump victory, a working relationship with Paul Ryan and the House Republicans, which is frankly more than Donald Trump has said.
I heard the Trump campaign's negotiating, so it could be like the 60 Minutes interview where Trump sits behind him like the marionette with his hand on his back and slaps him when he doesn't say the things he wants him to
no
say.
Moderator, though. No moderator.
Yeah, how great is that concept? A debate with no moderator. Shut up, Don. Just shut up. It's 7:21, Rick. Plug for the show again on Sunday?
Sure, 7 to 9. It's the Sunday Spin. We'll be talking to Sam Toyer from the Restaurant Association. We'll also be obviously talking about this continued issue of candidate health issues, and it'll be a great way to start your week.
It's the Sunday Spin every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. First in politics talk, and a great way to start off your Sunday, so get up and let's do it. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com, and on Twitter, at Rep30. .7:27. We only got about a minute here before we take another break for the big story. But then David Yepsen will join us in the second half hour. And we'll talk more with Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady. Are there one thing from each of you that you wish voters would lock into that you don't believe they have yet? Either one of you guys?
Entitlement reform. We haven't discussed it. And Trump doesn't represent the Republican side because he doesn't believe there should be. And the Democrats are not willing to discuss it. But that, to me, that drives the budget deficit, which I think is going to be a much bigger issue going forward.
But very little talk about it for sure.
Yeah. Global warming. I mean, I think it's the biggest crisis facing mankind. I don't want to sound like a horror movie. And I think it gets short shrift in this campaign. And I think it should not be a Democrat or Republican issue. It should be an issue that politicians in this country unites on.
Did you hear about the polar bears that have surrounded the Russian weathermen?
No, seriously?
They're Russian weathermen, like in the northernmost part of Russia. They're actually closer to Canada than they are Moscow.
That's when Sarah Palin saw them. No,
they shouldn't see the polar bears.
She saw Russia.
But there are polar bears that have surrounded a weather station, and the meteorologists can't get out, and they're sleeping outside the window. They're going,
wow.
Hey, come on out. We're cool. Yeah, no, it's fine. You got a sandwich? It's a bad day. Wake up, right? Are the polar bears gone, Vladimir? No!
They're still surrounding, too.
7:28, back with the big story next at 7:20 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
You think this is easy? Oh, you think this is so easy? In this beautiful room that's 122 degrees? It is hot, and it's always hot when I perform, because the crowds are so big. I don't know, folks. You think Hillary would be able to stand up here for an hour and do this? I don't think so.
Is that a window into his head? When I perform. Unbelievable.
He's easy to dislike, isn't he?
Yeah, I was on that train a while ago. It's getting hot in here, Don. Keep on your suit and tie. It's 7:40. It's Eric Edelstein. Eric, where do you work?
AL Media.
Say it again for me.
AL Media.
Say it loud, say it proud. AL Media. Pat Brady, remind everybody where you are.
Next Generation Strategies.
A couple of political geniuses. I mean, they can't stand each other. I think you can tell from the way they've talked here on the show. But somehow they've managed to be sociable for a period of time. David Yepsen standing by. We love David. And David is the director of the Paul Simon Institute at Southern Illinois University and one of the great political writers of all time. Last time I saw you was in Iowa. How have you survived the year?
It's a lot warmer today than it was when I saw you.
That's true. That's true. It was a blizzard last time I saw you. But is this, in your years, is this the strangest one you've ever seen, 2016?
Yes. Yeah, no question about it. It's unprecedented. You got two candidates with highest unfavorables ever since they've been doing polling. We're going to elect a president that goes into office, very unpopular. It's a great story, and I'm not seeing anything like it.
The polling piece of this, you've been around polling forever, and everybody's doing a poll now down to the 7-Eleven Slurpee cups. Is there a trend you see that you buy into, or are we still too early on this?
No, Hillary Clinton's ahead by a couple points. Donald Trump is closing in on her. This episode with her health has not helped, not because people are concerned about her health, but it raises, again, the questions about her candor and trustworthiness, which are things that have dogged her for, you know, many years now. So Clinton's ahead. Trump's closing. I don't pay so much attention to the national polls now, because this is a battle in a state-by-state battle. Yeah. And what's happening in battleground states. And it's significant that Trump has moved into a lead in a couple of these polls in Ohio, Florida. Those are states he has to win. But, Steve, the thing to keep in mind, we haven't had any of these debates. And those are going to be formative events.
David, do you think, though, she is in sort of a no-win situation? We were talking about this off the air, though. If she had said something about her health early on, then she would have been accused of taking the focus away from 9/11. But yet her track record over the past has been, well, not completely forthright. So do you think she's now in a position where she needs to come out and say, look, I know I have trust issues? Not that that's ever going to happen, but that would be in an ideal world.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, I think she should do that. I think candidates have to address their negatives. She'll have an opportunity in the debate to do it some. It'll probably come up whether she likes it or not. But if you got a problem, hang a light on it and let's talk about it. Let's have a candid conversation with her about what she's going to do about her problem and how she's going to correct this. How am I going to be straight with the American people? I think that would do her a lot of good at this point.
You know, I've said it before, the looking at a camera, there's nothing more powerful than looking at a camera and actually reflecting what people are thinking about you or the concerns they have about you. And if she said the words, I understand why people have concerns, she would take a huge step forward.
She would. And, hang a lantern on it and be straight with the American people. Go after your negatives. I mean, John Kennedy had to give a big speech about religion. Other politicians and presidents from time to time have had to address their negatives. And I think she has to do it, and that's hard for her to do because she's so conditioned to get in a crouch and play defense on things.
Well, I've said this before, David, this is Eric. You know, she's at her best when she shows some humanity. I think we've all seen that. And, you know, part of identifying your weakness and leaning into it is showing that people can identify, because we all have weaknesses and we all have problems, and then you sort of show your humanity, not sort of that you're above that. I think that is always a difficult challenge for a female candidate. And again, I don't want to get Steve's ire here, but putting aside, separating Hillary Clinton from being a potential historic first, there are a bunch of double standards here.
Well, there is.
That she has to overcome,
that.
David. Wouldn't you say, in terms of being a woman running for president?
Well, I don't know if there's double standards so much as we don't know what the standards are for a woman candidate. This is unprecedented. You know, a male candidate gets up, you know, he's got to have a dark suit, light powder blue shirt, power tie. You know, there's the uniform.
with
the
a,
red
with
ties
a female
uniform,
candidate.
Right?
you know, those norms are not. We don't understand what they are right now. The media doesn't understand it. The American people are sorting it out. Women understand how they are held to a different standard, and in this case, we really don't know what the standards are. But you're right, Eric. But when she in New Hampshire in 2008, when she showed some real emotion, and it was very brief in a conversation with a couple around a kitchen table, or in a gathering like that, she showed some real emotion, and her numbers went up. So sit down and be straight with the American people and have a conversation about it.
Hey, David, I know you're doing some work coming up here, some real intense polling here in the state of Illinois. Two quick question. We've seen some separation in these Senate races in Ohio and New Hampshire and Illinois, Arizona and Florida, that the Republicans have been able to separate themselves from Trump. And then tell us about your poll you're doing here in Illinois.
Well, we do public opinion polling, and we're going to try to get a fix on the presidential race, the Senate race, the race for controller. These are important local questions. Looking at the job approval ratings that the governor has and Speaker Madigan has and President Cullerton has, try to take a look at some of those things. We do a nonpartisan poll. We try to play it straight and give us some real data on how people in Illinois feel about some of these things.
At the Paul Simon Institute, with the focus you have on younger voters and potential future leaders and certainly on citizenship, which, you know, we're missing in schools now, one of the things that I think polls really miss out on is when you just do a landline poll. I mean, does anyone in this room know a millennial that answers a landline?
No, and in fact, that's one of the reasons why we've amped up our cell phone numbers to 60%. 60% of the phone communication in Illinois is over a smartphone or a cell phone.
Right.
So if you're out there doing a poll, you better have 60% of your respondents answering a phone that way.
No. Can you believe any of these? We've had this discussion for a year that I don't really... CNN's poll seems to track what might make news, that Donald Trump's catching up now. They were doing it 2 weeks ago. So these polls, I just have a lot of polls on the accuracy of any of them.
That's why you got to look at them in an aggregate. I like the Real Clear Politics average. Huffington Post has them. You have to average them out. Some of them are outliers. Some of them are goofy. That one out of 20 polls is just flat out wrong. But there are a lot of problems with polls. And I think it's important. We all know this. They're not a predictor. I mean, this race has got a lot of ground yet to go. It's close. Right now, Trump seems to have the momentum. But that's not a prediction of a Trump victory.
Right. I think the other thing we were talking about, David, is as and again, you couldn't agree with you more. So much of this is yet to play out, and these debates will be, I think, in huge inflection points. But there's an argument on the, and I've seen this not from Democratic partisans, that Trump's had his best 3 weeks. Hillary's had her worst 3 weeks. And yet he still, you know, with the exception of a couple of these outlier polls, he still trails in this thing. And does he have this low ceiling? And I think that's sort of the big question that everyone has is, can he get to a point, even in a four-way race, where there's enough for him to have a plurality?
He could. And here's the wild card. In these polls, the landline polls and the phone polls show Hillary Clinton doing a point or two better. Some of the online polls will show Trump doing better. So the question is, are voters unwilling to say they're for Donald Trump? when in fact, when they get behind the anonymity,
that's a great point.
They're doing an online survey,
that's a great point.
They'll be more willing to say that. In 1982, Steve, in California, Tom Bradley was the mayor of Los Angeles,
yep,
running for governor. Polls showed him doing quite well. He lost. People went back and looked, and it turns out that a lot of people didn't want to oppose to another person that they couldn't vote for an African American. Are people not willing to say publicly to another person on a phone call that they're for Donald Trump when they'll say that in an online poll?
Yeah, it's a great point. I would also
she'll
say,
kill me if I vote for him. We've been talking about that for
right.
months.
That's
but
right.
I also think, I mean, again, this is in the world of speculation. I think there's a bunch of people who won't say they won't vote too, who are just disgusted by both candidates who come out. And now which side that hurts more, I don't think we know at this point. But I think, you know, every poll, as David will tell you, is you have to model it based on some turnout prediction on what the electorate's going to look like.
And Dave, you do that before you actually take the poll.
Well, right. Well, or after you adjust, I mean, David knows this better than I do, you adjust the model to say it'll be this percent African-American, this percent female. You're basing on what the composition of the electorate looks like. Now, in a national election, as David said, which is unprecedented, nobody knows what the composition of this electorate ultimately will look like.
No, and it changes every 24 hours. David, before you go, Johnson Weld, will they make any of the debates, and should they?
They will not make the debates. I think they should. I think the American people are the Green candidate should too. Jill Stein. This is unprecedented times. There are people are craving new ideas. Let's open it up some.
Great talking to you. Good luck with all the work you are doing coming up. And thanks for trying to change the world through the Paul Simon Institute and getting these kids more involved, because I know you've had a lot of success with it. We need to spread it.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's David Yepsen, and we're back with more in a second, including I actually have the secret on how Hillary Clinton could wrap this up.
Thought about it, and I've seen around a little bit, and I said, did anybody else ever think of this? Because it's very interesting. But it used to be cars were made in Flint, and you couldn't drink the water in Mexico. Now the cars are made in Mexico, and you can't drink the water in Flint. That's not good. That's not good.
What?
Good God. 7:55, the Steve Cochran Show continues. Eric Adelstein and Pat Brady are here. This is show number 734. Get your blogs and your podcasts at WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com. The post 9/11 blog that I put up is there. And I'm going to write about this in a couple of days, if not sooner. And Eric Adelstein, you and I have spoken about this before in regards to Hillary being a human being. Every decision that she makes and the campaign makes going forward should be under one umbrella. Be America's grandmother. Be everything. Every appearance, every speech, every television commercial. I mean, think about your grandmother.
Right.
Your grandmother's going to defend you. She's going to support you. She's going to love you. She's going to quietly tell you how you could do things maybe a little differently, how you could rethink about things. She's not going to lecture you. She's not going to tell you how to live your life, but she's going to help you live it to achieve your full potential,
right,
because she wants the best for you. Be the grandmother. And by the way, she'll make you a nice dinner.
Right.
And she'll lie to your parents for you.
I don't disagree with you, but think about that. A man doesn't have to be likable.
Yeah, but you can't change
and capable.
You can't
a woman has to do this double bind
thing. Oh, men have to be likable. And
not
that's
to
why
be president.
Nobody, yeah, yeah, no, nobody, no, that's why Al Gore lost. I mean, that's why they have to be likable.
Here's the truth about the double standard. Women impose the double standard on other women.
Oh, absolutely.
Women are worse on
women.
Absolutely.
Women comment about Hillary Clinton's appearance more than men ever do. Women comment about Hillary Clinton's demeanor more than men do.
That's very
but
true.
The fact is, you're not going to change all of recorded history between now and November 8th. She is held to a different standard, and it's not fair, but it is what it is.
I just wanted you to acknowledge it. That's
Mark the tape.
You win.
But no, look, I agree with you, and I've said this for a long
time.
Be
the grandmother.
You know, and when she was on the show and you were talking about being a grandfather and she was giving you advice, it was a great moment.
That was
one
of the greatest human moments, I would think, of that primary.
Let's be realistic. For all of her accomplishments and her intellect, she is a terrible candidate.
Yeah, she is.
She's bad on the stump. She's irritating to listen to. I don't care if she's man or woman. She has none of that human connection. She just doesn't have it. So maybe being the grandmother is the answer, but if they lose this to Donald Trump, this will be the biggest political case of malpractice we've seen.
You should hear what she says about Pat.
No, I'm just listening. I dislike Trump. I've been saying that for a year, but she's so bad. They've got to do something differently, and it's a change election. And I'm not sure if I agree with the grandma thing. I want somebody that's going to figure out
one of the greatest things though she could do now when she returns to the stump today in North Carolina is say, you know what? Yeah, I was sick. I felt like crap. Not that she's going to say crap. I felt, you know, just be human about it.
Right.
I felt terrible. I should have said I didn't want to take away from 9/11.
And what would your grandmother do? Your grandmother would say, I'm not feeling that well, but I'll be okay in a couple of days.
Is she capable of doing that, though? Is she capable of saying
that? I don't know.
I've never seen her.
I know she's capable of being not human. I'm suggesting the opposite.
Yeah, but since 92, since Travelgate, actually going back into the 80s or 70s when she wouldn't take her husband's name in Arkansas, she's never admitted that she's done anything wrong. It's always been a right-wing conspiracy. I'm not sure if she's capable of doing it.
Well, there has been a right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah, it's really worked.
We all need a Werther.
Pat and Eric will continue this in the hallway. They both have safe words if I need to step in. Thank you, gentlemen. The next time you see Andrea, she'll be more Greek than ever.
That's right.
And thanks for coming in, Bush. Appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Live from Channel 9, Sleepy Dean joins us. Hi, buddy.
No more sleepy than usual.
Yeah, you're usually up that late.
Often out seeing movies or plays or something, so I actually got home earlier than, if I were to go see a movie, I got home earlier than that last night.
And so. It threw Dean off so much he went back out.
I did go back out.
Stood in his driveway for a while.
That's right.
Last night's primetime WGN TV special, you would review it like you would do any other program. What did you think of the show?
Honestly, you know what? While you're doing the show, you can't really get a sense of what's happening.
Right.
Because there was so much going on the air and especially off the air. I DVR'd it, and at some point I'm going to just watch the whole thing because we're getting really nice comments from everybody. The ratings were good on the show also, so everybody seems to be happy with it. But this is my favorite part of the whole show. I mean, we had Mike Ditka was here. Scottie Pippen was here. We had Frank Caliendo on the show. He was on Skype. But we had just a whole cavalcade of interesting and weird and fun people. So in the hallway, you know, there's stagehands pushing carts of like 20 kitty cat cages down the hallway.
Right.
Scottie Pippen is chasing Bozo to get a selfie. Scottie Pippen wants a selfie with Bozo. Mike Ditka's walking down the hall and he's stopping. You know, here's Ditka and Pippen.
Yeah, it's Cirque du Soleil.
It was very entertaining, though.
It was so weird. Like it was such a weird behind the scenes thing. We did this thing where Tom Skilling, you know, supposedly Tom Skilling had a Skilling cam on his head, a GoPro.
Right, so he kept checking in.
So we kept checking in and seeing what Skilling was doing. At one point, you check in, and Skilling is playing poker and smoking cigars with Bozo.
Right. Outside. And it was weirdly daylight. I don't know what happened there.
Was actually inside. That one was live. But Caliendo was hilarious. We had
well, when you go back and look at it, tell me if you agree, because I love you guys. You know that. Just too much content, too much going on, and I felt like maybe a third less content, and now you got yourself a huge show.
No, maybe there might have been a lot.
So you're suggesting I'm wrong?
No, I'm suggesting you may be exactly correct, because I know there's probably like four or five things that were supposed to get on the air that never made it on.
Is that right? Good God.
Because we ran out of time. So, I mean, I think...
Who got bumped?
We, our Glee Club, the morning show Glee Club.
Yeah, that's good.
Did a special song with Robin singing You Light Up My Life.
Definitely good you bumped that.
Don't worry. Oh, don't worry. It'll be on.
Dean, I like Pat Tomasulo's interview with the new boss,
right.
Paul.
Oh, right.
God.
That's a feature that Pat does called Who the Hell Is That Guy?
Right.
Where he just goes around the building and interviews people that you would never, you know from behind the scenes. And he interviewed our new general manager.
Was he actually there last night?
He was.
And what did he think?
Everybody was super happy.
Because I heard he's back in Indianapolis this morning. He decided against taking the job.
That's maybe changed his mind overnight.
He's a good guy. You met Paul?
He's a super
Dave, sweet write guy. This down. Paul.
I've met Paul. And he's okay. A very nice guy.
You're not good
nice
at remembering
guy.
General manager.
I didn't
names.
See him last night when I was okay. there, but I know he's around.
Saw Dave last night.
Yeah, we
what
saw
What did you think of the Cirque du Soleil going on in the hallways?
You know, it's because I'm normally there. None of that's going on.
Right.
First person that I saw when I walked in was Bozo in the hallway, which took me back to the... When WGN Radio was at Bradley Place in the 80s, and they would be getting ready to do the show, and you would see Bozo
running
roaming the halls.
Woman,
he didn't
try to sneak
up
some
it.
Woman out the see, front door and get her a
no,
cab.
See, on the
no,
weekend,
no.
We just call that normal.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
but it was really different. And there were more empty pizza boxes than I've ever seen in one place.
Yeah, we had Lou Malnati's pizza, you know, for everybody last night. Amazingly, at the end of the show, there was pizza left. That's the shocking part. That's how much pizza they brought in.
How about that?
For everybody. It was,
well, it looked like you had fun.
We definitely did. And you know, the ratings were good, so, you know, that probably...
It's not all about the ratings, Dean. It's about fun.
Do it again. What?
It's just about fun. It's not about ratings.
I've never heard that sentence before.
No, I was talking to the new general manager, Paul. He said, it's all about fun. I don't care if you guys get any numbers. That's what he told me.
Well, that's not going to go. That's not going to fly.
Hold on a second. Larry Wirt just fired me through the window.
He better change his tune right away.
Sandberg, this question, after traffic or before?
After.
All right. What's tease it? What is it?
I want to know about makeup.
Makeup. How much makeup did you go through? What was it? Did you use any Genucel? These are the things we'll look into in just a moment. By the way, Bozo could use a little Genucel.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richards.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. And Sandberg has a question. Any other questions on the staff about the show last night? Feel free to chime in. What was your question about makeup?
Dean, did you sit for makeup twice yesterday, or did you just ride out the morning makeup for the evening
show? No. I had to do makeup twice yesterday, once for the morning show. And then, you know, I'm Greek. I have like a beard around 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So
me too.
I went home.
I'm kidding. I wax.
If you're Greek, you actually get a discount on electrolysis at any salon in America.
Have you seen the goatee on DeVuantis by 2:30? Right. It's unbelievable.
Great. So I went home. I actually took a shower in the afternoon because I didn't want to feel grungy.
Sure.
Came back and re-makeup. I actually, on the second time around, I just went to an Earl Scheib store. And $99.99, I got the full makeup. That's gonna,
why not?
Paint him up. Last a week.
Paint him up.
Yeah. Are you hoping to have a primetime special added to the schedule like once a week now?
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Well, I remember the idea we came up with yesterday. Dean talks to stars who have told him to F off. That's a full hour.
It's going to be a big show. That's going to be a good one. Whatever makeup I went through is nothing compared to what Bozo goes through.
Bozo was great.
I
might be coming over to the clown side.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
That's a major transition for you.
Well, I just think Bozo's transitioned me.
Yeah, Bozo's pretty cool.
Well, the buckets are huge.
Yeah, by the way, I loved, you know, and I could have warned you about Brent Seabrook. I mean, I love Seabrook. He's a fabulous guy. And I'm sure talking to him before you guys went on, you see what a fabulous guy he was.
Very, very nice.
But here's Dean's interview with Seabrook in case you missed it. So, how's your summer?
Good.
Was having a Tommy Lee Jones flashback.
Yeah, but he couldn't be a nicer guy.
He's just kind of low.
He's a little bit low-key. He's just not a verbal guy.
He's a little bit low-key. I was, you know, talking to him before we went on the air, trying to warm him up a little bit. And he's just a little, I don't want to say shy exactly.
He just doesn't talk much.
Just a little low-key.
Yeah.
You know, it was fine. He played the buckets, the grand prize game. He only got to bucket 5. Scottie Pippen steps in at the last minute.
Yeah, slam dunk 6.
Unexpected. Slam dunks number 6.
Yeah, what do you win, by the way?
We had a full range of prizes.
I saw
Dunkin' Yo-Yos.
Yeah, I saw. What did Scotty win for getting 6?
We had a beautiful Bozo cake from Roser's Bakery. We had some pantyhose because on the Bozo show they always give away pantyhose.
I saw you do that.
Moms.
Did they really give away pantyhose?
Yeah, a new mode hose with the no bind top.
Oh, I remember that.
And they would give away a bike and Matt's cookies. Usually.
And that was number 6 is a Schwinn
bill.
A Schwinn
crisp
bike.
$100 bill.
And how great would it be to see Scottie Pippen riding a Schwinn bike down Western Ave?
A blue bike.
Right. All the prizes were donated to the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
All right, so Justin Timberlake's in the news. Why?
He is commenting on this Kaepernick controversy. He was in Toronto Film Festival, or Steve, as I like to call it, TIFF.
Mm-hmm.
he has a new concert documentary that Jonathan Demme has directed that's going to be on Netflix next month. And somebody on the red carpet asked him what he thought of the Kaepernick national anthem, you know, kneeling during the national anthem. And his response to this was, it's a free country. Said anyone can feel the way they feel and make a statement. We are in an interesting place right now. So don't know if there's going to be the same kind of splashback that there was when Justin Timberlake commented on that actor, Jesse Williams. Remember when Timberlake was...
So what do you know? You stole somebody's career.
You appropriated black lives and black art.
Yeah.
So he took kind of a Twitter beating on that. And he actually commented on that also, saying he sort of doesn't regret it. He said his language may have been inappropriate, but his intention with that whole thing.
I have to tell you something. If you tweet something and you believe in it, don't apologize for it. This is not a Donald Trump thing. I'm just saying the worst thing about social media, Dean, and you know this, is you never have the last word.
Right.
There's always going to be a punchback. So you've got to have the wherewithal and the strength to stay out of it.
Got to be committed. If you believe it, either stay out of it.
Or stay in it.
Or own it. Own it.
Tom Cruise in the news. Why?
His production company is the production company that is behind the motion picture that's going to be opening soon called American Made. There was when they were shooting part of it, this movie is about the TWA pilot who worked for Pablo Escobar and then became a DEA informant. They were using some pilots to shoot some aerial shots. One of the planes crashed. A pilot, a couple of other people in the plane died as a result of that. Those families have filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Tom Cruise's production company, saying that it was an unsafe flight. Should have never happened in the first place.
Would that be up to the pilot and the airline? I guess the responsibility goes back to the people with the money?
Yeah, you would think. I'm sure all that's going to be hashed out in the trial that will follow.
The Mel Brooks and Morgan Freeman in the news.
They are going to get a very lovely honor from the president. They're going to get the National Medal of Arts. They are honoring Mel Brooks for a lifetime of making the world laugh. He's one of the very few artists who's got an Oscar, Emmy, Tony, and a Grammy Award.
Me too.
Morgan Freeman being honored as an actor, director, and narrator. Chicagoan Sandra Cisneros also being honored and given the National Medal of Arts, actually, is the exact name of the award that they'll be given very soon.
Mel Brooks is funny.
Mel Brooks
still makes hilarious. Me laugh.
Still hilarious.
Thank you, Andy.
Mel Brooks is hilarious, but he never shuts up.
Get busy living.
You're all about the discretion today, aren't you?
Yeah. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is playing the Edward Snowden in the movie. We don't have time to play the Gordon-Levitt, but this is a movie.
Wait till you hear the whole thing on Sunday, then.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is a movie that's out this weekend. It's been in the can, as we say, for a while. But tomorrow you'll review some films, and on Sunday you're going to have Joseph Gordon-Levitt on?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Oliver Stone, and also Tim Allen, your close personal friend, Tim Allen, because his show, Last Man Standing, starts in syndication on WGN on Monday. You know where I
saw Tim Allen made a lot of money. Not bad for a heroin dealer.
You know where I talked to Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
No, where'd you talk to him?
On a tightrope.
TIFF.
Oh, did you throw a film festival?
TIFF. I was talking to our general manager here at WGN TV.
Paul, Dave, write it down. Paul. We were general manager is Paul.
We were talking in the hallway, and he told me how much he enjoys this segment.
Oh,
and
very nice.
And that he especially was laughing on Monday when you were making fun of TIFF, which is Toronto International Film Festival.
Highly amused.
When you're too busy to say the actual words, Toronto International Film Festival.
Yes, and if you live in the suburbs and have wondered what a TIFF district is, it's where Dean lives. all right, buddy. Enjoy the day.
See you later.
8:28, back with the big story next, 720 WGN.
Ryan Dempster.
There's a 1-1 to Freeman. Oh, he caught it! Right into the palm of Dempster's glove.
Ooh.
That is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I got to tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go, go.
That was outstanding.
8:40. Ryan Dempster live in the studio. Nice to see you. Nice of you to do this. Appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad I could come in and spend some time this morning with you guys and have a little fun.
Ride your bike.
Yeah, I rode a Divvy in. Yeah.
So where is it?
Well, I dropped it off over on Grand and like.
Otherwise, you get double charge. You can't afford that. You're on a fixed income.
Right? $8 for every extra half hour.
That's what I'm saying. Got to be careful.
It's like parking in the city.
Yeah, it's no good. How's the family? Everybody good?
Yeah, they're good. Kids are school. Son's starting football. He's got his first football game this Sunday. So
wow, yeah. What kind of sideline dad are you?
Sorry, this Saturday. I'm mellow. Yeah, I let the coaches whoop it up. You know, I'm
right, but internally.
I just want him to pay attention and hustle. If he does both of those things, I'm happy.
Yeah, work hard, have fun.
Yeah,
that's what it's about. Yeah. And the parents all needed to be reminded every preseason. It's not about you.
Right, it's about right. It's definitely not about us as the parents. It's the kids for sure.
One game away. Magic numbers down to one. Dave Ennett's worst nightmare is The Cubs lose this afternoon, and they clinch with the Cardinals' loss at midnight again tonight. But I was telling him.
Well, it's not my worst nightmare.
Well, it's one of your nightmares. But I was mentioning the other day, how great is it that as a Cub fan, that's a concern now when they clinch?
Right?
There was a lot of years where this really wasn't in the discussion.
No, it just shows you, like, listen, 07, 08, I was on two really good teams. 08 was one of the best teams I'd ever been on until 2013. This team's way better than those teams.
Is that right?
It really is. I mean, they got every piece of the puzzle, but they're not content. They want to get after it. I really am a big, humongous fan of Jason Hammel right now, because if we would have swept, I would have had to fly to St. Louis and go celebrate with the team. So the fact that he took one for the team and made sure we could do it at home is really, really what a great teammate.
Yeah, and you know, nice. That's the kind of guy stepping up. Stepping up, you know? You get one extra L, but we have the party at the house.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what that celebration room's for, right? They planned it on using it for this. So let those guys enjoy that moment tonight at home.
Andrea mentioned before, do you have any idea how much champagne you go through in a celebration like this?
Oh, man.
Because divisionally, am I right about this? Binnie's will allocate a certain amount for a divisional title, a certain amount more for the league championship, and we haven't seen the World Series stash, have we? But this is the year.
I always loved, too. I remember in Boston when we did it, same sort of thing. It progressively got more and more. And then we had this gigantic, humongous bottle of, I don't know, Alizé or something like that. And Ortiz, instead of saving it, he just decided it was a good idea to pop it open right there and spray it all over everybody. I think it was like a $20,000 bottle. But when you're in the moment, you're enjoying
Poppy,
it like that.
Not that one, Poppy.
But, I mean, I wonder what percentage actually gets consumed in those scenarios. I mean, I'm sure a lot of it does, but most of it just gets sprayed around, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it gets sprayed usually mid-interview. Somebody's doing an interview. And
did
so
you have glasses on in 13?
Eventually. I like the burn. I want to feel the burn. The burn is the most enjoyable burn you'll ever get.
Sure,
Mike
sure.
Napoli, I just went to lunch with him. They were in town with the Indians playing the White Sox yesterday. And he's with the Indians. They're not used to winning as well. And a bunch of the young guys are asking him when they get goggles. He says, you don't get goggles. It's your first time going to the playoffs.
Especially
you gotta,
the young guys.
You got to have red eyes the next morning. I want your eyes barely open. You know, that's how it goes. You got to wear that.
You ask for goggles, you're sitting down.
Right? You see you later. Go in the clubhouse.
Yeah, come on. Who are you kidding? Who do you think this is going to mean the most to tonight, Joe? Well, assuming this gets done, and I assume it will. Because there's no, you know, you look at this team, you go, the veteran's 25. You know, you got Grandpa David Ross, right? Everybody else is just kids.
Yeah, you know what?
I think you look at Madden. This is such a big deal for Madden.
Yeah, it is. I look at it for Madden. To be really honest with you, player-wise, I look at Anthony Rizzo. He was a guy who kind of was here at the beginning of the rebuild and stuck it out and led by example every time he went out there. He posted up every day, asked to play. He plays. And then I look at it more so. I look at the Ricketts. I look at Tom and Laura and Pete and Todd, and especially Tom. He's there every day seeing this to fruition. And, you know, yeah, last year you win – you know, a playoff series against the Cardinals, but this is your first division title as owner, and I think that's a huge moment for the Chicago Cubs, because this isn't going away. This is a sustainable thing that's going to be at least contended for year after year.
Is Ricketts still wandering around during the game and just shaking fans' hands?
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty awesome. Up in the upper deck, handing out balls to kids who happen to sneak away on a school night.
Well, it's the Rocky Wirtz model.
Yeah.
You know, but here's the thing, and you know this because you're a Canadian guy and a hockey fan. We expect it of hockey. We expect the gratitude from hockey because these NHL players have always shown so much gratitude. Baseball, you don't have that kind of tradition. And the Ricketts family deserves credit for kind of fostering that with this team.
Yeah, and I think it's something that, you know, early on was established. Like, listen, this is what we're going to be all about. This is how we're going to run things. We're a family first, so we're going to treat it like a family. Wrigley is going to be a family-type atmosphere. As crazy as that sounds, you know, with the Friday afternoons, everybody's skipping out of work to go drink beer in the bleachers. But it really is that way. The way they treat the players, the staff, and their families, the way they take care of everybody, and that just kind of oozes into the fan base and how they kind of embrace that. And it's a beautiful place to go watch a game. It's only going to get prettier when everything's done there, and it's just going to be probably the most sought-after place to go in professional baseball to go watch a game.
You know, it was cool yesterday after the game in St. Louis, Joe was talking about all of the potential with his team and how kind of what you just said, Ryan. I mean, this isn't going to be a one-time deal. I mean, these guys are young. And then he said, but Rizzo screwed it up for everybody because he's 27. So the average age skews a little higher because of him.
Isn't that funny that the veteran on your team, position player wise, your everyday player happens to be a 27-year-old? Like, what a great thing to
have. Scare the rest of the league.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's, you know, you look at it, you're established at first, second, short, third base, you know, in the outfield, behind the plate now with Wilson Contreras, and this is a great situation to be in, to have all these young position players that are, you know, with you, controllable for a long time, and they want it. They want to be this, you know, team that is gunned after, put the target on our back, like Joe said, embrace the target. Yeah, absolutely, come get us. You know, there was a moment last year, and a lot of people don't know about this. There was a play at second base where Yadier Molina took out Addison Russell. Mm-hmm. He took him out pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And there was this thing, is he going to get thrown at? And he came to the plate the next at bat. And he said to David Ross, hey, my bad, I'm just trying to play hard. I'm not trying to play dirty. And David Ross looked right at him. He said, no, keep doing what you're doing because you're just making us better. And I think that's a great thing.
Don't.
Yeah, it teaches those guys that, hey, if we play at a higher level, you know what? You guys are better than other people. So if you play at your elite level and execute, you're going to outperform people.
Well, you know, for years, Cubs fans had to look at those Cardinals teams, and they always seemed to find the right people and players that you didn't hear of. And, you know, where are they coming up with these folks? And you look at what the front office has done to find players like that and to build this farm system up to what it is. That's why it's sustainable for the next 5 and probably the next 10.
Yeah, for sure. And you look at, you know, guys who can play multiple positions. You know, you got a Gold Glove infielder. He rides the bench most of the time in Javi Baez. So, you know, and then you're going out and
you're not going to keep them all. I mean, some are going to go, but the fact is when you're that deep, you don't have to keep them all.
No, you don't. And if there comes a moment where you have to make a trade for somebody or you have to let a guy go in free agency because you can't afford to keep all those guys, the depth is huge. You see it. People get hurt all the time. So having depth is huge.
You want to ask Demps a question? Text him. 312-981-7200 is the number. Maybe a divvy bike question, possibly a question on the upcoming NHL season. You know, the things he's passionate about. Oh, yeah, and the Cubs, too.
I get tired of being nitpicked, and I get tired of being criticized unjustly. Why don't they talk to me first before they do it? Okay? And get my viewpoints and my feelings, and then make a determination. You know, the same way that I get called ridiculous, they're ridiculous in the way they report things, too. And another thing I'm going to say, I've won over 1,800 games in a manager, and I'm not a damn dummy. That I can tell you. Okay? There are only 13 others that have won more games than me. So I guess I think I know what the hell I'm doing. I don't care about talking to them. I'm talking to you to you for them. But I'm tired of it. You know, and Steve Stone, he's got enough problems doing what he does with the White Sox. What job has he had in baseball besides talking on television?
Oh, how the mood has changed. That's classic Lou, and that's from 2008, last time they won. Baseball season's underway. It's been 8 years. And there was a stretch, Dave, of 2 or 3 or 4 years where it felt like 8 years.
Yeah, in 4.
And here they are on the verge. They wrap it up today. What sort of environment is it going to be in the clubhouse afterwards? Everybody duck?
Extremely fun. You know, whether it's today or tomorrow or whatever it ends up being, you know, I think they put it right. Like, you know, somebody asked me, oh, are they going to pour champagne? If they win the division, you know, that's not the end goal. And it's like, whoa, you got to enjoy each moment.
Every step
of the way. Because there's guys that weren't in that locker room last year. There's guys who weren't on that team. And this team stands alone as its own self. It's not the 2012 Cubs, not the 08 Cubs, not the 2015 Cubs. It's the 2016 Cubs. So one thing about these guys, being around them, seeing them, they like to have a good time, and there's going to be a good time had when that does happen.
Ryan Dempster's here, David.
And you were fortunate to play on winning teams where you had those celebrations. There are guys who play their whole careers and never get the opportunity, so you got to enjoy those. I have to ask you about Kyle Hendricks, because there probably isn't a player in baseball who has opened more eyes this year, Ryan, and burst onto the scene, and people look at him and say, man, how's he doing this? And he's getting better as the year goes on.
Yeah, he's putting on a clinic, pitching 101. Actually, probably more advanced pitching than that. But it really is that simple. And you look at what he's doing, and how he's doing it. He's commanding his fastball. He's taking his fastball and making it four pitches. And what I mean that is he pitches down and away, up and away, up and in, down and in. So he puts it in four quadrants of the strike zone. And then he changes speeds probably as good as anybody in baseball right now. He's got that changeup that reminds people of another right-hander who's in the Hall of Fame. And I'm not comparing him to Greg Maddux, mm-hmm. but what he's doing is much similar to what Greg did. And you talk about domination. Everybody wants domination to be 95 miles an hour, and they want it to be 280 strikeouts. But there's other ways to dominate a baseball game. And he gives the most comfortable 0-for-4 at-bat you'll ever get. You'll go up there, go 0-for-4, and go, how did I not get a hit? And he progressively has gotten better and better. And he just shows you that there's no excuses. When people say, I was good in high school or I was good in college, but I only threw 88 miles an hour. Well, you know what? So does Kyle Hendricks. And he executes and he locates. And he never lets emotions get in the way. He's very in control of his body, his mind. And he just worries about executing that pitch right there. And it's the toughest thing to do. It's tough to do for a little leaguer when they're sitting at there out on the field and they give up a hit or somebody makes an error or a run scores. Their shoulders go down. I did it when I was playing. You feel sorry for yourself and it stops you from making that next pitch. He doesn't do that. He's been incredible this year. We got the top two contenders for the Cy Young. That's just fact. If you look at it. Those two guys at the top of the rotation, him and Lester, have been amazing. So one of those two guys should win it.
Ernie Banks and Ron Santo. You don't think they're guiding this one too hard, do you? There's the managers, and I'm sure Joe Maddon would agree. Somewhere Ernie Banks and Ron Santo are pulling the levers.
100%. Those are probably two of, if not the strongest Cubs fans out there. Nobody was more passionate than Ron Santo and Ernie Banks likewise. So I know they're up there. They're watching down. They're doing whatever they have to do, whether that's, pull on the jersey of a Dizzy Dean or, something like that sure that they beat the Cardinals. Or, it's amazing what those guys brought day in and day out to the field when you saw them. And those guys out there right now, the 2016 Cubs, they're playing for their team, but they're also playing for those guys as well. And they'll say that exact same thing.
Just looking at some numbers quickly here, and I know how much you appreciate your career, and fans, how much fans appreciate Dems. But those two guys played almost 5,000 games with never ever playing a playoff game. Different system then, less teams. You had an East Division, a West Division. The National League played the American League. You had one round in your World Series, and you're done. But that kind of talent, 5,000 games without ever seeing a playoff game.
Yeah,
what this year's about. That's what the Cubs' success is about, right?
Well, and it makes me, it should make you realize as a player when you do get there to not forget to really enjoy that moment.
Don't expect it's going to happen next year.
You don't know. And as great as things look for the future, it's the now right now. Yeah, the future is coming, and that might be a division title. That might be moving to an NLCS, and that might be going to World Series. But just appreciate the now and enjoy the now. Enjoy that champagne when it gets flowing and enjoy the moment. Live in the moment, embrace it, and have so much fun with it because there's no guarantees.
Texter wants to know if you're ever going to get on the field and coach.
No.
No interest.
I don't really have an interest. I think, I don't know, maybe that'll change down the road. I have more interest in coaching 11 or 12-year-olds when my son gets a little bit older than I do getting out on a big league field.
One of the Wrigley ushers said you're always nice to them and wanted to say thank you.
You're very welcome. Yes. Absolutely. I always treated it like that. When you go to Wrigley Field, we go out there on the field and play, but we're all working trying to accomplish the same goal
same
and have
company.
The same thing, same company. So get to know each other and say hi, and it means a lot to me that somebody would write in and say that, so thank you.
Cubs are going to play one of three teams in the division series, depending on how this wild card thing shakes out, the Giants, the Mets, or the Cardinals. I know the Giants have had a rough second half, and they've had a rough last week or so, too. The Mets, again, they look like their pitching has kind of come back into form here. And you've got to deal with the Syndergaard and guys like that. And then the Cardinals are the Cardinals. So if you had your druthers, Ryan, again, these are tough problems to have, picking which team you're going to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, very, very tough. And the scary part about the wild card game, as we've seen in the past, is that all it takes is a team to kind of get hot at the right time.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
To be honest, I'm surprised there haven't been more symptoms.
Would loss of sight in one eye be a symptom?
Possibly.
And temporary paralysis?
Definitely.
There might have been some symptoms before today.
Why wouldn't you get those checked out?
He sent me to Jenny Craig.
Oh, my God. Dad, temporary paralysis?
I thought it was a weight thing.
It seems like you guys have some stuff to work out.
Scene from The Hollers with the pride of DeKalb, Richard Jenkins. How about this? Fun with Dick and Jane, 6 feet under, cheaper by the dozen, intolerable cruelty. There's Something About Mary, Olive Kittredge, White House Down, Jack Reacher, Hall Pass, The Hollers, as I mentioned, and Step Brothers. And that's what Richard did last weekend. The hardest working man in show business. Joins us now, it's Richard Jenkins. I'm a big fan, and it's nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, and I'm tired because I've been working so hard.
Ryan Dempster, Chicago Cubs legend, is in studio. I said, Richard Jenkins is going to be on. I showed him your picture. He goes, yeah, Step Brothers.
Ryan Dempster, my gosh, that's great.
Ryan, say hi.
Morning, Richard. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm super excited for the possibility of clinching a division title today and to talk to you all in the same day, so this is great.
I know, but I keep thinking something's going to go wrong.
Oh, typical Cubs fan. Come on, you're better than that now.
I am better than that, and the Cubs are better than they've ever been. Because I'm 1969. That's me. I mean, I was the guy. I was watching. It all went... it was a sad day, anyway.
The good news is we're already over that hump.
They're the best team in baseball.
All right, so let's talk about the Hollers.
Team in baseball ever.
They're unbelievable. They really are. Let's talk about the Hollers. When you saw the script, did you go goofy, but I like it, or did it ring with you right away?
First 4 or 5 pages, I said, I really got to do this. I like this. I like the twists and turns and you know, things change. Do a 180 immediately, and so John Krasinski asked me to do it, and who directed it and stars in it. And I said, who's playing the mom? He said, I've offered it to Margo Martindale. I said, well, if she signs on, I'm in, because she's amazing, amazing actress.
The thing about you, you know, I mentioned, you know, that guy theory. People go, Richard Jenkins, Richard Jenkins, Richard Jenkins. Then they see your face. Yeah, that guy. You have got an IMDb list of films here, which is unbelievable, and
it's probably not a good idea for me to be doing radio.
No, because we know we're fans. But every single genre that I could find in this list, you've covered. I mean, that's a hell of a testament as an actor, because that means people are spending money to make these believe in you.
Yeah, I'm a lucky guy. I've been a very fortunate man. I've got to do a lot of different kinds of things. So, yeah, I won't disagree. It's been a great run.
You know, when you're doing a movie like Step Brothers and obviously working with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, those guys are obviously comedic geniuses, as everybody knows. They're pretty funny. You and so many of your scenes were a lot funnier in them.
And so great.
And you're just fabulous. I absolutely love the scene in the bedroom when you guys there want to build bunk beds, and you're just absolutely hilarious. I do that to my son all the time, you know, like without the curse words. Obviously, he's only 10. But just can you tell me, like, what was that like working with those guys?
It was hard keeping up. I mean, they're quick. This guy's got brains that move about 200 miles an hour. Very funny. I remember when I said in that line, no power tools, Dale. I heard this drill going off, and I said, no power tools, Dale. And he said, it's my electric toothbrush.
threw that out there. You know, the thing about working with different types of actors and different types of styles and different types of genres, you do always have to be on your toes. So where'd you get your training?
I went to Illinois Wesleyan University.
Yeah, you did.
And then I just kind of started to figure it out. Worked with a great coach, Harold Guskin, who wrote a wonderful book called How to Stop Acting. And he kind of changed and gave me direction, and so I took off from there. But I was on stage in a repertory theater for 15 years before I did my first movie.
So here's the premise on The Hollers. A guy comes back to his small hometown because he heard mom is sick and she's about to undergo surgery. That's not a strong elevator pitch. But Krasinski, who's got a lot of thump in Hollywood, must have really believed in it as well.
Well, it's a great, you know, it's a great script. When you read the dialogue and you read the characters, if you're an actor, you go, this is something I want to do. And John is an actor, first and foremost, and he's actually a terrific director. I think the cast is amazing. I mean, Anna Kendrick.
Charlie Day?
Charlie Day. Josh Groban is in it.
Yeah. Josh Groban is actually very funny.
He's hilarious. Could I get a ticket for your concert? No, you cannot. You know, he's hilarious.
Right. All right, so I know there's one thing that you want to know from Ryan Dempster, and that is, if you get to town during the playoffs, where will your tickets be?
Well, and is Billy Williams in town?
Billy's there. We'll get you a seat right next to him.
Oh, no, this can't be true. And it is. So I don't know why you're bringing it up.
I'm a special assistant to the president. I can make these things happen.
Yeah, Ryan can make those things happen. And this is Ryan's way of saying thank you for Step Brothers.
Well, if you made it happen, Ryan, I would do Step Brothers 2 for free.
was there somebody, who was the actor or somebody early on in your career where you were like, you watched them, you worked with them or her, and you were just like, wow, that really, really made an impact on me and put me down the right path to doing what I aspired to do?
Well, it's interesting because growing up, watching Brando was like, who is this and what is this? But I didn't even know what it was. But when I was deciding if I could do this for a living, is there a possibility? I don't know. I went to a movie by myself, and it was Alfie with Michael Caine.
Wow.
And I don't know if you guys have even ever seen it. And I sat in the theater and thought, if I could do something like that.
Yeah, how about that?
It might be worthwhile. And that's when I decided that, yeah, I'm really going to do this. This is what I'm going to try and do.
And Michael Caine's the only...
Met him.
Oh, you never met him?
No, never met him. I was doing a movie in England. He was on the next sound stage, and I heard he was there, and I ran over, and he'd gone already.
Wow.
But I always wanted to tell him, because he's always fantastic. But that performance, I just watched it the other night, about 2 weeks ago. I put the DVD in and watched it. Yeah.
Michael Caine is the only guy that's done one more movie than Richard Jenkins.
Yeah, and that's because we were both up for that same part, and he got it.
Right, and he got it instead. Hey, good luck with the Hollers. I know it's going to be great. And, you know, this Cubs chip, we can cash this in, so keep it in mind.
Oh, man, don't even joke about it. Don't even joke about it. Would that be amazing? See the Cubs? Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Well, you want to throw a little Catalina wine mixer in there?
Yeah, well, it's going to, yeah, I mean, it's a Cubs playoffs. It's the effing Cubs playoffs.
I can't because you'll bleep me.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly right. All the best, man. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks.
There you go. Illinois' own Richard Jenkins. And you got a talk show host career in you, dude.
He's impressive. Like, you look at his, like you said, his ability to do everything from drama.
But I just
want to
let me take you backstage here a little bit. I hand Ryan Dempster a list of Jenkins' films. You asked 3 or 4 great questions. Bang, bang, bang.
Thanks.
You know what it is? It's natural curiosity. You know, you just revealed how easy my job is. You just sit down and you're just curious about people. It's not that hard. Nicely done by you.
Thank you.
9:20. We'll come back. We're going to let Demps go in a minute, but I want to get some of you listeners' questions on the text line at 312-981-7200. And Mary Vandeveld from the 7th floor.
Is it time?
Her team of don't cares for the Wang Dang Doodle are about to do their pick with special guest teammate Ryan Dempster.
Wow, before 10 o'clock?
Coming up next on 720 WGN.
Hug it, chug it, football!
It's Wang Dang Doodle time. Oh boy, not again.
That's right, the Wang Dang Doodle. We'll get to the picks in just a second. The Do Care team, captained by Dave Ennett, made our picks yesterday. The Don't Care team got bumped at the end of the show. But we'll get them in. And Ryan Dempster will lead them off in just a second. He actually does care, but he's here today.
Yeah, he should be on our team.
Yeah, he should be on our team if he does get.
Okay, easy, both of you. Demps, a couple of baseball questions here. This is interesting. Does Dempster think the large video boards have changed the effects of the wind blowing out at Wrigley?
Yes. I think that not so much blowing out. I think when it's blowing out, it's blowing out. I think that the wind off the lake, yeah, that ball that used to get knocked down to left center can somehow make it out now. That was always the place to hit it when the wind was blowing in, and now you got a little bit of a screen there to keep the wind from gushing that ball back over to the left fielder. So, But they're awesome. What a great job they did with those.
Demps, how hard is it to throw fastballs now after you've been out for a bit?
Not as hard as I thought. I've been playing some catch and just having some fun, and never know when I got to join an over 40 league here pretty soon. So, it feels pretty good.
I know Demps is a big hockey fan. Any Stanley Cup predictions?
Oh, well,
other than the Blackhawks.
Yeah, other than the Blackhawks, wow. St. Louis is good again.
Who do you like in the East?
In the East, I'm going to go with Washington.
Yeah, it's tough to repeat. The Penguins, I don't see them coming, but
it's really hard
to repeat. One of these years, Washington will get out of the first round, yeah. You think. Kyle Schwarber, how's he doing?
He's doing great. Yeah, rehab's going well. He's working really hard and feeling good. And obviously, he's not coming back this year, but he'll be great, man. He's really put his nose to the grindstone on a rehab and done it the right way and getting some good results because of it.
We got a couple of questions about expectations of these players, and I'm glad the listeners brought it up, because just give me 30 seconds on this. But I don't think it's fair for this group of young players to understand how much a Cubs World Series win means to the city of Chicago, because they're kids. So, understand that they're enjoying it and they're happy to deliver it, and I believe they will. But they're doing it for the Cubs' legacy, I think, because of Joe and because of the organization. They understand it. But I don't think at 25 you can get what this would mean to the city of Chicago.
No.
I don't think it's fair.
No, not at all. If you think about it, what's that, 1990 you were born?
Yeah.
So, like, you're sitting there and there's not a lot of history in your own brain to wonder what that's like.
Right,
so,
you don't have history.
You hear the stories, but at the same time, these guys are just going out there and trying to just beat up on whoever they can and do the best they can, and that's all they're concerned about that day. They don't get too far ahead. They're not thinking 10 minutes down the road. It's just that moment, and that's why they're doing so well.
All right, so let's go to Sandberg here. We're going to do the picks for the Wang Dang Doodle.
Yes.
The name doesn't make any sense because the picks don't either. Correct. All right, so we're going to let Demps go first.
We're going to let Demps go first, yes, for the don't care side.
So you're going to pick a quarterback.
Yeah, my quarterback, I'm going to Oakland. I'm going with Derek Carr versus a weak secondary of the Atlanta Falcons.
I like that pick.
Put up some big numbers against New Orleans last week. So.
And now pick a game?
I'm going Pittsburgh at home against Cincinnati.
Give me a score.
I'm going to go with 31-21.
I like that. I like that pick too. If Demps wins, we're sending him pizza and all the stuff that we have.
Yes.
Yeah, this could be good for you.
I love pizza.
Good job. But he's on our team, so we get to add his points, right?
We'll see. Mary Vanderbilt's captain of the Don't Care team. Sandberg, who picks first?
Actually, it's me.
All right.
I'm going to do
what?
Garoppolo. It's my turn, Mayor.
Oh. You only pick Garoppolo because you think he's cuter than Brady.
Yes.
Didn't you pick him last week?
I did, and he did very well for me.
Okay. He did look good.
Yeah,
he looked really good.
Yeah.
He looks good with his helmet on and with his helmet off.
No kidding.
I think he might get traded.
You know what I like to say about him? He's adorbs.
He is adorbs.
Yeah. So I'm going with him. And he's also good at football, which counts for something. And I'm going to take that game, Texans-Patriots. I think the Patriots are going to win 20-19.
Tight one. Next. Who's picking after you?
Grzanich.
Grzanich, who knows nothing about football. Grzanich, what do you got?
I've done a little homework.
Okay.
Denver and the Colts.
Okay.
Did you pick that one yet?
No.
Score?
Okay. I'm going to say it's going to be, I'm going to go with 31-21. It's going to be 10 plus
okay,
10.
But you got to pick one of the teams to win.
It's going to be Denver.
Oh, Denver, 31-21.
I think he's just copying Ryan.
No.
Okay, 31-21 is fine.
And Philip Rivers is going to be my quarterback.
Wow, you did do some homework.
Yeah.
All right, third on the list.
I actually looked off Ryan.
Bennett is not here.
So, Dave Bennett, you have to pick for Bennett.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Bennett picks for Bennett.
Didn't he pick before
he's
left?
Part of the don't care. No, because he wouldn't have known what was left.
Let's use Ryan Dempster.
Yeah, there you go. That's fine. Yes. That's fine. That'll work.
Thank you.
I'm willing to do that.
Oh, there we go.
All right, next up.
John DeCoste.
John DeCoste, did he pick?
He picked. He is going with, who's filling in on the Vikings right now for the injured guy?
Fran Tarkenton.
Sean Hill.
Fran Tarkenton is playing.
He looked good in practice, I gotta say.
So he's gonna go Sean Hill, and he's picking that game. He's got 9-7.
Well, why not? Sean Hill
Vikings
puts up
being in the
Sean Hill puts up those kind of numbers. And finally, the captain, Mary Vanderbilt of the Don't Care team.
Did anyone pick Drew
go
Brees?
Mary, go Mary.
Drew
yes.
Brees.
Yes,
Drew Brees is off the
Dave.
Board.
Cam Newton. Nope, Cam. Your guy's Cam's up.
Cam's good. You got Cam.
I'm going Cam Newton.
And a score.
Lions over Titans. Anyone pick that one?
Nope.
Okay, I'll take Lions
28-21. Oh.
What?
Yes.
Someone picked it?
It was picked, sorry.
All right, Ryan, pick another game.
He can read my bad handwriting upside down. That's
Packers and Vikings?
Packers and Vikings.
I believe that was just taken as well.
Yeah. Okay. How would Mike do this interpretation, I wonder?
Is there any game left? Broncos and Colts?
That was just taken.
Yeah.
Saints and Giants?
I mean, this is just getting ridiculous. I mean, this is just too much. I sit here all day.
That's a fair pick. I prepare
for the Wang Dang Doodle. Everybody takes my picks.
Saints is
okay,
open.
Mary.
Saints, Giants.
Saints over Giants, 35-28.
That's a pretty good pick.
And the Elgin O'Hare's backing up. We got this going.
Ryan Dempster, thanks for doing this, bud.
Absolutely.
Do we need to get you a ride? Are you going to go to another divvy?
Oh, I'm going to go find another divvy station and find a bike that nobody put back in.
Very nice. Good move.
Yeah. Yeah, just pull a few and see if one comes out anyway.
Make sure you wipe down the seat as well.
And check for change. Bang on the machine. See if there's any change in there. Ryan Dempster's on a fixed income, Dave. You got to be careful.
No question about it.
That's exactly right. It's 9:30. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The earthquake happened at 3:36 Italian time. We felt it here in Rome. It woke people up.
Some of the historic towns of Todi and Orvieto are in this area. It is extremely mountainous. It's landlocked.
I'm a little bit scared because it was very, very bad. Incredible. I've never heard something like that.
Rescue teams, hundreds of rescuers still scouring the rubble with dogs, with listening devices, hoping against hope to find people.
It is 9:43, and joining me now in studio, just back from Italy, a delightful, lovely, and talented woman who you know from television and from basically being the mayor of Chicago and knowing everybody. But how did I not know you had family in Italy? Well, first off, tell everybody. Your name is, young lady?
Good morning. Steve, it's Lissa Dross-Chrisman.
Right.
I'm with the Joint Civic Committee of Italian Americans, and thank you for being here. But before we start this segment, I think your friend Pat Brady would like this. Can we change your name to Steve-O Coccarini just for this segment?
Sure, whatever you need, because you're just back from Italy, and that would make it more kind of a home game for you.
There you go.
So how is it you have all this family in Italy?
I'm second-generation American. Both my grandparents were born in Italy, but I was raised 3,000% Italian, so my name, Lissa Dross-Chrisman, doesn't sound Italian, but everything else is.
But from all those years of doing television and stuff, you'd meet people and you'd tell them you're Italian. They'd go, no, you're not.
That's okay. They're the blonde-haired and blue eyes in Italian in Italy, too.
Okay. All right, so what do we know about recovery efforts, and what are you guys doing?
Well, most importantly, the earthquake was August 24th, and it fell off the news cycle like everything else does.
Right.
But we still have nearly 300 people dead in this very small town in Italy. We had 3,000 people that were left homeless. An entire town was just wiped from the map. And so instead of having it fall off the news cycle, the Joint Civic Committee of Italian Americans has been leading the fundraising effort here in Chicago, raising funds to go directly to Italy. And most importantly is this Saturday, we are having a very big fundraising brunch hosted by Benny Sadu at Villari. And we cannot thank him enough because he's donating his entire restaurant.
Right here.
Right here. Right. His entire restaurant to the fundraising efforts. It's being hosted by the Joint Civic Committee of Italian Americans, the Shrine of Our Lady of Pompeii, and Milan Sister Cities.
You won't find better Italian food and a better Italian spirit than you will at Villari, right behind the Tribune Tower.
And a generous heart.
Oh, those guys are phenomenal.
Yes.
They're good people. The town itself is going to take an awful lot of time to recover. But the amazing thing is when you see the footage of this, and this is why I never should have dropped off the news cycle, is people going hand by hand trying to find survivors, find pets, find whatever. Obviously, they're in a recovery mode now. But the economic impact of this, I mean, all the businesses, the engine of the town was wiped out, right?
Well, the entire town was wiped out. And most importantly, what you don't understand just thinking about it or seeing it is this is a very, very, very remote town. And we heard it in a drop before we came into the segment. It's about 2 hours and 25 minutes from Rome, north and east of Rome. And it's up in the mountains.
Right.
So while there are good highways to get there, it's the response time that was, you know, quite frankly, very fatal for a lot of people.
Sure.
It's getting supplies there.
And getting equipment there, right?
Exactly,
heavy equipment to move stuff.
It's not exactly like a mecca of cranes and bulldozers.
Well, they had this in Nepal, too, because you had in Nepal, it was for the Nepalese earthquake, and there were multiple earthquakes there. Getting the heavy equipment in to move the rocks to try to save people's lives.
Right. But just imagine just one day, you know, and this happened also in the middle of the morning, you know, when people are sleeping.
Sure.
And that was one of the first things as soon as I heard about it. It was about 9 o'clock here, and I started texting my family there right away saying, are you okay? Are you okay? Because Well, my family's hometown is a little bit south of that. The tremors obviously were felt very powerfully in Rome.
Of course.
And that was in all of the Italian Americans. There's about 500,000 of us here in Chicago. And all of us were constantly, you know, burning the phone waves and texting, because quite frankly, texting now is one of the most amazing things to communicate.
So everybody communicates.
Europe. Correct.
Try to get someone to answer the phone. The Italian economy has been hit hard in general. What shape are they in to take care of themselves?
Not good. Not good at all. The unemployment in Italy is unbelievable.
Right.
And it's very, very difficult. And then you have all the Syrian refugees coming in. You have just this area of unrest.
Mm-hmm.
And so going back to this area in particular, when you hit the nail on the head, when you lose businesses and you lose livelihood, you lose communities, you lose everything. And it's not just an earthquake. It was a change of life for a good part of Italy.
So the money that you guys raise and will continue to raise, where is it going to go?
What we are doing is we are working with our Italian Consul General, Giuseppe Finocchio, who is here in Chicago, and he is directly telling the Joint Civic Committee of Italian Americans where the money should go directly to Italian agencies, not just the Italian Red Cross, but surgically deploying the money to go exactly where it's needed, so it's not just a blanket donation.
Yeah, and that's good, because whatever money you contribute, you can count on is actually getting good work done. Then,
and
right?
Every penny, 100% of what we've been raising, goes right to the efforts.
The city council had to step in on this, didn't they?
Who do we thank? Well,
Ed Burke?
Actually, Chairman Burke and Alderman Loreno yesterday introduced, and a proclamation was approved that Saturday is Earthquake Relief Day. And we want to thank Chairman Burke and Alderman Loreno for their support. And again, this is all about raising money. And if you can donate, we love the Joint Civic Committee of Italian Americans. The website is where to go. If you can join us, you know you'll get some good food and probably some good wine, too.
Yeah. And what time are you doing that on Saturday?
It's noon on Saturday.
At Villare.
Noon to 4 at Villare. We'll have Father Fragamini from the Shrine of Our Lady Pompeii. The Consul General will be there. Dominic DeFrisco, our President Emeritus from the Joint Civic Committee. And you don't have to be Italian to be there. There'll probably be a few Irish people as well.
Yeah, I know one. There's going to be, now, as you know, Villare is such a great room, but the tables are a little tight. And with all those Italians in one room talking with their hands, somebody's going to get smacked.
We all get tired a lot when we talk a lot. Our hands get tired.
Yeah, well, Trump claims it's a workout. JCCIA.com. Right?
Yes,
JCCIA.com. That's the website. Well, it's always nice to have you here and see you again. And this is nice work you're doing.
Thank you, Steve.
So good for you. And say hi to Tom Serafin.
I will do that. Thank you.
Yes. What's my name again? Steve-O what?
Steve-O Coccarini.
Steve-O Coccarini. We'll take a break, come back. Bill and Wendy still to come at 10 on 720 WGN. I want to play a little bit of sound today and stuff that's been in the news, or you're going to hear more about as the day rolls on. Dr. Oz says to NBC News that Trump couldn't have been more cooperative when it came to his health records on the big Dr. Oz show with Donald Trump about his health. Here's that.
I was surprised. I looked at them and tried to process it pretty quickly. And I've got to say, as a doctor, if he was my patient, they're good for a man of his age.
Like what? What did it say?
He had details from a colonoscopy that he had a few years back. He had a calcium scan of his heart that was done that looked good. He had results from chest x-rays and EKGs, plus the laboratory results from last week.
There will be blowback because he did this on a television show. You're a doctor on TV. You're not his personal physician. You didn't grill him. You said it wasn't your role to ask him tough questions. You're not a journalist. What will you say to critics?
I'm a doctor. I host a television show that talks about health. I did not run the test myself, but it is a comprehensive view of a person that would normally be revealed from one doctor to another.
My concern about Trump is not his physical health. It's his mental health. But that'll be the big story today, that much being revealed by Trump and how much was actually revealed in the course of the show. Ivanka Trump was on Good Morning America. And she was talking about, the Trump business, if it's as big as Donnie J says it is, well, what's going to happen? Aren't there some conflicts?
There's something so much bigger than our business at stake, and that's the future of this country. As a private business, we can make decisions that are not in our best interest. We're not beholden to anyone, to shareholders. We can say, you know what, we're going to do less deals. We're not going to do that deal, even though it's a fine deal, it's economically reasonable. because it could create a conflict of interest, and we'll act incredibly responsibly. My father already said that he would put the company into a blind trust, and it would be run by us. So he's been very articulate on that fact and outspoken. But this is so much bigger than another deal, and we all recognize that.
She also said in a different clip that we're not going to have time to run here, but in a different clip she said that we will not have any conflict of interest. You can trust us on that.
Okay.
Oh, well, then I'm fine then. Totally fine. And before we get to the biggest news of the day we haven't covered so far, piece of sound you got to hear. You don't want to mess with a woman named Bernice from New York City, from WPIX Channel 11 in New York. A woman named Bernice, 86 years old, got mugged. You know what she wants to do?
Did you really snatch an 86-year-old woman's purse?
She wants to hurt me. And the bitch don't even know me.
At 86 years old, Bernice Starnes is full of spunk. She's traveled the world, seen a lot, but never anything like this.
I hope that they beat her ass. Some of the women in prison beat her ass every day for long as she's in there.
Some people might say that's harsh.
Well, so what she did to me was even worse.
Tonight, Bernice spoke one-on-one with Pix 11, just minutes after the woman accused of snatching her purse was walked out of the 4-8 police precinct in handcuffs. What did you do with the cash?
Do you feel bad?
Do you have any remorse?
I'm supposed to feel sorry for that bitch. I don't.
Thanks, Grandma. She's 86, Dave. You want to mess with Bernice?
No. I don't think so.
Hey, happy birthday, Coach Q. Coach Joel Quenneville, handsome devil. He and his mustache turned 58 today. And we're less than 3 weeks away from hockey. How about that?
Can't wait.
Can't wait is right. It is 9:57. Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.